As we continue in worship now under the Word of God, I would invite you to turn in your copy of God's Word to the Gospel according to Luke. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 1 this morning. Let's hear the word of God. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him, and he who has invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person.' And then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or banquet, do not invite your friends, or your brothers, or your relatives, or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return, and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Father, as we come under your word now, we pray that your Spirit would give us light. Father, that we would have eyes to see, eyes of faith, the eyes of our hearts to receive your word with faith. Father, that you might do your work in us to save and to sanctify. We ask that we might behold the glory of your Son this morning. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder if any of you are prideful. I wonder if any of you are self-seeking, self-centered. Maybe the better question is, when was the last time your self-seeking, self-centered pride was exposed to yourself? When was the last time your self-seeking, self-centered pride was exposed? As we drop in with our Lord Jesus this morning, I believe that's exactly what Jesus is doing in this passage for those with whom he's sharing a meal, and it's the intention of this passage that that might happen for us as well. There's three parts to the passage that we will spend time in this morning. The first is this moment at the feast, at the dinner table, where there's this interaction and a healing of a man. And then secondly, coming out of that healing, there's an initial parable, this parable of where there's people, he notices that there's people choosing the places of honor. And then the third section, he directs remarks to the one who invited him to the feast, and in a very confrontational, very direct way, exposes his host, tells him what he ought to do instead of what he has done. And so we want to walk through these three portions of Scripture this morning. So let's drop in here on this Sabbath day around the table where Jesus has been invited to dine with the Pharisees. Now, as we've walked through the gospel, we notice that this is a little bit of an unusual situation. It's not new to us who've been walking through the gospel that there is a clash, there is antagonism, there's confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees. And yet here we have him invited to dinner in the house of a Pharisee. Not only that, but we notice something else unusual. Luke tells us that Jesus goes to dine on the Sabbath at this house, and so as we come into the table, we see the Pharisee there and all those who he's invited. Jesus is perhaps an unusual guest, but there's a more unusual guest at the table. There's this man who has this disease. Especially given the remarks that Jesus is going to give in a few moments, we ought to find it odd that this diseased man is present amongst these dinner guests at the table. And so there we are. We're sitting at the table, and we notice that Jesus is there, and the Pharisees are there, and there's this unusual guest. And perhaps, and I think it's pretty clear that there's something going on here around the dinner table. The Pharisees regularly seek to trap Jesus with their words. And I think what's going on here is they're giving another opportunity to trap Jesus in his actions. This man is not here by accident. He's been invited on purpose. They intend to produce the situation that comes. But as happens so regularly with those who seek to trap and catch Jesus off guard, Jesus is always 10 or maybe 10,000 steps ahead of them. And so notice what happens. They're all sitting around the table. Jesus is there. The Pharisees are there. And there's this man with this disease there. And look at what it says in verse 3. Jesus responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees. Now, we ought to note that as unusual because in this narrative, they have not said anything at all. And yet, Jesus is responding, perhaps responding directly to this trap that they have tried to set for him. And notice what he does. He puts a question to them. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? This is not the first Sabbath confrontation that we have in the gospel according to Luke. These kinds of issues have come up. Jesus has already demonstrated his position with clarity that absolutely it's not just lawful, but it's an obligation to show mercy on the Sabbath day. But here he turns the question back on the lawyers and the Pharisees around the table, and he simply says, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And these men, in their attempt to trap, are now trapped. They remain silent. They can't answer one way or the other. Either way, they will be outed. They will be exposed. If they say yes, then they risk contradicting themselves in the way that they've carried themselves both with Jesus and in some of their own teaching on what you can and can't do on the Sabbath. But if they say no, they expose themselves as uncompassionate, unmerciful people. So they remain silent, thinking that they can remain unexposed, remain hidden. but not with Jesus. Jesus takes the man, heals him, and sends him away. And then he says to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" The Pharisees' attempt to remain hidden in their self-centered, self-seeking pride. But Jesus exposes it very quickly and very skillfully. He shows them that all they really care about is themselves. All they really care about is that which has a direct importance to them. These so-called rules about not showing compassion, not showing mercy on the Sabbath, are not about honoring God and loving Him. They're not about honoring God and loving their neighbor. They're simply about preserving themselves in their self-centered, self-seeking, self-righteousness. And Jesus exposes it with this simple question. You get into these technical debates about healing on the Sabbath, but he just exposes them right there in front of everyone. "Which of you, having a son or an ox that's fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" Immediately pull him out. And yet you see this man here who's suffering from a disease. And you would say to me that it's not lawful to show compassion, to show mercy, to heal on the Lord's day, on the Sabbath. And you notice they have no response. They could not reply to these things because Jesus has struck them in the heart. Jesus has exposed their self-seeking, self-centered pridefulness. He's revealed it in a few short moments. Just two simple questions. One, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? And two, which of you would not? Which of you would not pull your son or even your animal out in a moment? Jesus exposes this stubborn, deep-rooted sin that is present in the heart of every human being. You see, we might be tempted to think that the primary instruction of this passage is that we ought to show compassion or mercy on the Sabbath day. And of course, that's true. Jesus is demonstrating that reality, but that's not the primary instruction. What we need to be asking is, why won't they do that? Why will the Pharisees not do that? Why will they not show mercy or compassion on the Sabbath and yet quickly and readily rescue their own son or their own property out of danger? Jesus is digging deeper. Jesus is exposing what's under the surface. Jesus is exposing what is in the sin-sick heart of man. We can go all the way back to the garden and see where it rears its head first of all. God creates Adam and Eve, and he puts them in the garden, and he gives them everything they need, not only physically but spiritually. He is present with them. He is their God, and they are his people, and he gives them his word. "Do not take from this tree. It's all yours." And we see pride where man exalts himself above the word of God. Man exalts himself out from under God and seeks to discern for himself what is good, what is right, what is true. We see this principle at work here in this passage. But Jesus doesn't just expose the Pharisees here in this passage. Jesus exposes all of us. And we see that more clearly as we move to the next section. You see, Jesus heals this man. He leaves the Pharisees speechless, and then he immediately goes on to tell a parable to those who were invited. Because he noticed that they chose places of honor. And so he said to them, "When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him." Jesus tells them this parable where he says, don't choose the place of honor up close to the host. Because what if someone who's actually more important, more recognized, more honored, more distinguished comes, and then in front of everyone, not only will you not get that place, but you'll be demoted. You'll be sent down to the end of the table. You will be shamed in front of all these people. And notice it says this is a parable. He says, no, don't do that. He said, take the lowest place. Take the lowest place so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table. Jesus sees into the hearts of human beings, and he notices from their behavior at this dinner party that they are vying for the place of honor. Jesus sees right into us, and he sees how we, in prideful, self-centered, self-seeking, try to put ourselves first, try to seek the best for ourselves, try to make ourselves noticed by others, try to be recognized. Jesus sees right through it. He watches and he observes. He sees not just at this dinner party those thousands of years ago, but he sees in each and every one of you in your life. He sees, whether in little or large ways, how you try to be seen in your good deeds, how you try to get the best spot. It might be simple, something very simple for you kids, just trying to get the first portion. It's there. It's relentless. And Jesus exposes it by telling this parable. And he's not just trying to give advice for dinner parties on how to get away from a public shaming. Notice what he says in verse 11. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the principle of Scripture, the principle of the great reversal, the principle that the way up is down. Just as our brother even referenced here, as they were praying moments ago, that the grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die before it can burst forth and bear fruit. This is the way the kingdom works. This is the center principle in these three parts of Scripture here at the beginning of chapter 14. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." Humility is necessary. Humility is necessary for those who would be in the kingdom of God. The principle is clear. James chapter 4 and verse 6, that God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Do you see how important it is that our self-centered, self-seeking pride be exposed for what it is? And for the Lord Jesus to call us to humility. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Jesus is exposing what's going on beneath the surface. It's not just whether you can heal on the Sabbath or not. It's what's going on in the heart of a person who would refuse to show mercy, who would refuse to do good to a human being standing over there, and yet when their own son or their own ox falls into a hole, they would be so eager to break all the so-called rules to get him out. But Jesus presses the point even further. Jesus presses it in to his host here in verse 12. He says also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, invite the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. Jesus exposes everyone in the room a number of times, and now he exposes his host directly and in front of everyone. You notice again, it's not fundamentally about the instruction. It's about exposing the sinful heart in the presence of all these people. The man, what has he done? Who's sitting around the table except explicitly his friends, his brothers, his rich neighbors? The Pharisees and the lawyers are there, those who have the status, those that this man wants to be honored in front of, be repaid by. Jesus exposing the heart of this Pharisee in front of everyone with this instruction. He's exposing him as one who has not done the latter, who has not invited the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind in order to show true generosity, in order to show genuine love of neighbor. No, he's been exposed as someone who's just trying to get something in return, whether it's honor in the moment from having the right people at the dinner party, or whether it's a debt owed in the future. Someone's going to return the favor. He's going to get the seat of honor. Here we see generosity that isn't so generous at all. And again, Jesus is exposing what's going on underneath. What's going on in a heart that would refuse to show mercy on the Sabbath day? What's going on in the heart that desires to be first, that is happy for everyone else to be left at the foot of the table so that they can be given the seat of honor? What's going on in the heart of someone who only invites those who can pay him or her back? That's what's going on in your heart. Are you exposed this morning? Are you exposed this morning? God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. It is intrinsic to saving faith to come to God in humility. What's wrong with the Pharisees? What's wrong with the Pharisees? They, in their sinful, prideful, selfish, self-centered hearts, would never see themselves as the man with dropsy who needs the healing touch of a Savior. They would never see themselves as the one who deserves the lowest place. And therefore, if they're called up higher, it would be a genuine honor. It wouldn't be something they deserved. They would never see themselves as the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind who need an invitation because they have nothing to give in return. And my friends, this morning, here we have a picture of what each and every one of us need. Here we have a picture of what it looks like to belong to the kingdom of God, what it looks like to enter the kingdom of God. Look at Jesus as he moves in merciful compassion towards the man who needs to be healed. Look at Jesus as he calls us to humility that we might be received by him. Look at Jesus as he humbles himself, even humbles himself to the point of going to the cross for the salvation of undeserving, unrighteous enemies. Look at Jesus who gives invitations not to those who can give him anything. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the eternal Son of God, come from heaven, taking on flesh, living the life that we could not live in perfect obedience to the law of God, going to the cross in the place of sinners, rising again on the third day, having in himself all authority and power. He cannot receive anything from us. And unless we recognize that reality, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. We cannot come to Jesus in faith. If we come thinking we're giving something to Jesus, we're no better than the Pharisees who sit there refusing mercy. We're no better than those who seek the place of honor thinking we deserve it. We're no better than those who merely invite those who can pay us back. So here's the invitation. Here's the invitation this morning. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. See yourself in light of his greatness and his glory and his goodness, his infinity and your finiteness, your sin, your frailty, your helplessness. In other words, all it takes to be humbled is to see yourself as you really are, according to the only standard that is ultimate, and that's God himself. Humility is as easy as that, which means it's the hardest thing in the world, because you have to let go of it all. You have to let go of any self-righteousness that you were clinging to, anything that you were holding on to, think, I've done this, I've obeyed in this, I'm good enough in this, I have this to bring to the table to be accepted by God. You have to let it all go because it's not there, it's not real. You have to let go of that desire to think that you can claim the place of honor because you somehow deserve it. You humble yourself, seeing that, scripturally speaking, the only thing you deserve, the only thing I deserve, is the wrath of God. On account of my sin, I have rebelled against the goodness and holiness of God, the God who gave me sunlight every day of my life, the God who gave me life and breath and everything, the God who's given me every meal I've tasted, the God who's given me every hug I've received from someone, and ultimately the God who sent his Son to the cross for a rebel sinner like me. I've got nothing. And he's got everything. So here is the invitation. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Humble yourself this morning. see the sin-sick reality of your heart and come to Christ for healing. Come to be healed by the blood of the Lamb poured out for sinners. All you need is to see your need. All you need is to acknowledge that reality, that you are indeed the man with dropsy. You are indeed the one who needs to be healed. You are indeed the one who has no power to accomplish that for yourself. To acknowledge your poverty before the Lord and come to Him as the crippled, as the lame, as the blind, to come to Him who has nothing to bring. You are the one who's received an invitation from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and cannot repay Him in any way, shape, or form. And yet, the invitation is there. It is written in His blood. It is written on the cross where the record of debt is nailed against all who would come in faith and rest themselves upon Jesus and His saving power. So acknowledge your poverty before Him. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. What you need this morning, my friends, is nothing. And then you need Jesus in the face of your nothing. So come to Him. Come to Him. Come to Him. For though the Lord is high, He regards the lowly, but the haughty He knows from afar. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's why we come to this meal at the end of our gatherings together. This meal is for the believer, for the one who has come with nothing, for the one who has observed their guilt and sin, the one who has understood that they desperately need the healing power of the blood of Christ, the one who's observed that they need the invitation because they have nothing to give, the one who's come for forgiveness to Jesus Christ by faith alone. It's at this table that we are reminded of that reality, that we receive afresh by faith the grace of our Lord as His body was broken, and the bread holds that up before our eyes, His broken body for us, His blood shed for us. It shows us both how lost and how desperate we were and how glorious and how full is His salvation and provision for us. So we come again confessing that reality. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. If you're here this morning and that's not your hope, I pray that as we take this meal, you would look on and you would see, maybe for the first time, the desperation of your need and the glorious provision of Jesus Christ to meet you there. So, brothers and sisters, let's take now the bread and take the cup together that we might proclaim His death until He comes.